Spirit, lead me. Let's lift our hands. Father, indeed that is our prayer. Very difficult prayer. But that's what we want. As your disciples, as prospective disciples, we want the Holy Spirit to do what he was released to do upon this earth. To lead your people, to lead your church. That's our prayer even in this hour for this local congregation. And that your Spirit will lead and we will follow. We desire to follow. Yes, Lord. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. Passage that was read earlier. Thank you so much for having me here another morning, back-to-back Sundays at this service. Indeed, pleasure of mine, and last week I was not with the family, and the family is with me today. Don't need to tell you that they are here because the evidence is right there before your eyes and in your ears. So Masha is here. We are thankful that she is, and the boys, Joseph and Jabari. Once again, thanks to Pastor Teddy and the leaders for inviting me to share with the congregation on these past Sundays and also during our Bible study for this month. And I will be on again for the month of August in the Bible study. So I do look forward to that. You found it? Acts chapter 16, 6 to 10. It was read earlier, so I won't read it again. Past couple weeks, we have been looking at the Spirit as helper. In our Bible studies, we have been reflecting on that role of the Spirit, his ability to help us in the various areas of our lives. Last week, as helper, the Lord reminded us that as helper, the Spirit is there to be of immense help when we have loss, when we suffer loss. And as we spoke last week during the week with some of the members, we recognize how timely that reminder was because there are members of the congregation who have lost loved ones and so forth. And it was a tremendous blessing for the Spirit to speak into our hearts that way. And we did not just limit it to just the loss of life, but also just loss in various ways. And the Spirit as helper during loss, we learned last week, he does so by being a revelation of the presence of God. He does so by giving us a reaffirmation of the peace of God, and he does so by providing restoration of expectations. Our text was from the book of St. John, chapter 14, 25, there to 27. This week, we want to focus on the Spirit's ability to help us when we really do not know or understand the will of God. And there's a question in our minds, in my mind, and I want to place it in your minds this morning. How can we recognize God's will in our lives? How can we recognize God's will in our lives? As disciples of Jesus Christ, that is a foundational question that we need to resolve in our minds before we go forward. God has a will for the various areas and seasons of our lives. But at times, you and I are conflicted. At times, we are caught between a rock and a hard place, as they say in trying to understand or even recognize before we understand, to recognize that this is what God wants for me. Sometimes we are conflicted whether or not we need to stay in one job or leave that job. We're conflicted whether or not we need to stay with a spouse or leave that spouse. We are conflicted sometimes because we ask ourselves, do we need to go study or do we need not to study? Do we need to have children or do we need to have more children? Do we need to enter a church ministry or just, you know, attend church? Do we need to leave Jamaica? And where, when we desire to leave, where do we go? Do we go up north? Do we go to Europe? Do we go to the Eastern Caribbean? Or should I stay in Kingston? Or should I go to Montego Bay? Should I go to St. Catherine? Or should I go to St. Anne? Time we're conflicted because we ask ourselves, has my season in a particular church ended? Should I stay in this church? Should I leave this church? We are desirous of God's will, but we are conflicted many times. And what we desire is God's thoughts. When we talk about his will, we want to hear God's thoughts. We want to hear his opinions. In actuality, we want to know God's plan for this particular decision or area or season of my life. What is your way forward, Lord? What am I supposed to do? And this morning, the Lord is going to help us by revealing to us that the Spirit helps the disciples of Jesus Christ during this period by revealing God's will, God's plan for the believer. When we are conflicted, when we do not know what to do, where to turn, how to go forward, or should we go backward, we have the Holy Spirit of God who is there to guide us during that particular moment. We are not left, Jesus said, as orphans. We are not left on our own. We should not be so daunted that I have to do this on my own. No, no, no. Jesus Christ has left us the Spirit. We're told that the Spirit has been placed in our hearts to help us in moments like these. And so we are thankful this morning that the Spirit will act as helper by revealing God's will as it unfolds in various areas of our life. Let's jump to our text, Book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. Acts, the second volume of Brother Luke, Dr. Luke. He wrote the Gospel of Luke, and this is his second volume in the New Testament, the Book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. He records the historical movement of the early church in this particular book. Our passage really is impacted by what has transpired in chapter 13 of the Book of Acts. Our brother Paul here in this passage is our subject and his companions. Back up to chapter 13, Paul was guided by the Holy Spirit. After his conversion, after his training, he's now guided by the Holy Spirit to go on his first mission journey. Himself, along with Brother Barnabas, decided to obey the Spirit. And the Spirit, and Luke tells us, Luke is big on that. He says in verse 4 of chapter 13 that the Spirit sent them on a mission. Their first mission. And so they moved geographically to a place called Cyprus. They move into where we call now Turkey. They move into parts of that region. And then they found themselves back in the place we today call Israel, Palestine, Syria, that region. That's where he was doing his movement. And the first mission that started in chapter 13 was a successful mission for Paul and Barnabas. However, you know, as it goes with church folks, we do get up into each other's faces and we do have disagreement. And on the eve of chapter 16, on the heels of it, sorry, there's a disagreement in chapter 15 between Paul and Barnabas because of a young man by the name of John Mark. And Paul was very insistent that this man should not go on the second mission journey because he abandoned them on the first mission journey. Barnabas was more compassionate to John, and he said, no, let's carry this man on the mission. Paul was a straight shooter. He said, no, and they parted ways. Barnabas went with John Mark on his mission. Paul here, now we find in chapter 16, is moving on his second mission journey with another team comprised of Brother Timothy, and I believe here Brother Luke, and those who are not mentioned. What we need to understand is that here in chapter 16, verse 6, Paul and his team, they want to go somewhere. They want to move into a particular region. The region they want to go, as I said earlier, is a region called Turkey, modern-day Turkey. Back then it was not Turkey, it was split up into various regions, various territories. Paul and his team here were traveling northward, up the northern parts. But Paul and his team had set their sights on a place called Asia Minor. Not modern-day Asia as we know it, but same place, Turkey, the southern, southwestern region of Turkey. They had set their sights to go to that particular region. That's where they wanted to go. They're in the northern region. But Luke records here in this particular passage, they wanted to go to the southern, southwestern area, but the Spirit of God prevented them, stopped them from going into a region that they wanted to go into. This was their desire, but they were prevented. And Luke repeats it twice. He said, first they were forbidden to go there, and then when they even went to a particular reason, Misha, to move into Bithynia, again they were stopped. They wanted to go into this region. It was a good plan. It was something good. They wanted to go preach the word of God. But the Spirit of God prevented them from going there. Text does not tell us how he stopped them. Text does not tell us, give us the specifics. But it clearly states that the source of their hindrance, as recorded by Luke, was not the devil. The source of their hindrance to do something that they wanted to do was the Spirit of God. God stopped them from doing what they wanted to do. There are a couple of things to note here before we say how the Spirit reveals God's will to us. It is key to note that Paul and his team observed the unfolding of circumstances, and then they concluded that it was God preventing them from going into one region and opening the door for them to go into another region. They observed, they discerned, they were sensitive to what was happening, and then they came to a conclusion. Boy, this is what God wants for we, you know, and this is where he wants us to go. Scripture says that Paul got a vision. A man from Macedonia said, Paul, come over here. And then after he got that vision, Paul was convinced that this was where God wanted him to go. Brothers and sisters, the reason why Paul and his team would make such an observation is because they were open to the will of God. That's key to note. They were able to recognize the move of the Spirit. Open door, closed door. Because they were open to the will of God. It is one thing for us to desire God's will. It's another thing, though, to be open to receive it as it unfolds. One thing to say, boy, I want God's will. God, do what you want. Spirit, lead me. That's good, wonderful language. However, when things start to unfold, are we really open to what God wants? A feature of Paul's mission was the guidance of the Spirit. As the Spirit guided, Paul kept in step with the Spirit. Step by step, as the Spirit lead, he kept in step with him. Brothers and sisters, when we engage God to reveal his will in our walk with him, we must be open for him to say no. We must be open for him to say yes. We must be open to him to say wait. We must be open when he says to us, here is another alternative. We must be open when he says nothing at all. A lot of times we run to God, we want him to tell us what we want. But we must be open to what he desires. And when he begins to unfold it, then we follow through. Brothers and sisters, I think the church has somewhat lost the idea. They have lost this theology that God as Lord has rights. We fight for our human rights, but our God has rights. As sovereign God, he has rights. Wouldn't make any sense for him to be God if he didn't have any rights. He has rights of God, and when we say you are Lord over our life, we have given him the rights to our life. So when he says no, we should comply. When he says yes, we should comply. When he says I have another way, we should comply. When he says wait, we should comply. As Lord, he has a right to respond to us the best way he chooses. Because of his foresight, because of his insight, and because of his hindsight, all in one. You're not separated. Our God exists out of our time. We live in time. God exists out of time. He resides in eternity. And his wisdom is far greater than our human wisdom. Paul says it this way in a very cheeky way. Not suggesting that God is foolish. But Paul says the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. God said he's not foolish. But let me tell you something. If you think you're wise, even his foolishness is wiser than that. Brothers and sisters, I had a professor who said, God is wise and we are otherwise. God is infinite, we are finite. And so we ask him for his will, but we are open to it as it unfolds. Why? Because we recognize that he's Lord, he's wise. He lives in another time. We trust his wisdom and his knowledge. That's one thing to note, that we must be open to it. There's another thing to note, though, and it's what happens subsequent to chapter 16, verse 10. Myself and Brother Michael were talking about this on Wednesday night. And we were talking about what happened after the door was open in Macedonia. You want to read on, huh? Paul moves into Europe. What we call him as he moves into Europe. That's where the Spirit directed him to go. Europe stopped him from going into Turkey and sent him to Europe. Read on, though, because the story gets very interesting. Lydia is saved because of this ministry, the famous Lydia. But when you look at chapter 16, verse 16 onwards, Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. Where God led them, they experience great suffering. Where God led them, they experience great pain. Where God led them, they experienced great opposition. Where God led them was not just a bed of roses. Many times, when God leads us to somewhere, or God reveals something to us and it begins to unfold, and we begin to feel the pressure of it, we may experience some loss, some tragedy, some suffering. The first thing we are tempted to say is that this is not what God wanted for me. That's bad theology. Bad theology. Because if we use Jesus Christ as our benchmark, we will recognize that the climax of his ministry was great suffering. He was led to the cross. You don't want anything worse than that. He was led to a place where he experienced crucifixion and shame. Brothers and sisters, the will of God is not the absence of suffering. When God opens a door, that door may come with some challenges. But it doesn't mean this is not what God wanted. This week I met upon a story of a missionary in 1912 who goes by the name of Dr. William Leslie. Dr. Leslie in 1912, medical mission, went into the Democratic Republic of Congo. And Dr. Leslie spent 17 years in this region. And the article's title was this: Missionary Died Thinking He Was a Failure. 84 years later, thriving churches found hidden in the jungle. Dr. Leslie, when he returned from his mission, felt as if he had failed. He saw no success, no progress, no churches were built, nobody accepted the gospel. And he returned home 9 years later. He died, a disappointed man, broken by the fact that he believed he was led by God to this place, but he saw no results that he had envisioned. In 2010, though, a team went down to the Democratic Republic of Congo, into the same region that Dr. Leslie went into. And when they got there, they saw a network of churches functioning in the same region. And when they mentioned the name Dr. Leslie, the tribal people, they didn't know Dr. William Leslie by his name. They knew him as the Baptist. The work that he had started in the Democratic Republic of Congo, that he left thought was a failure, thrived after he left. Thought he failed. But God used what he did to erect churches, a network of churches in that area. Brothers and sisters, I know that temptation to say, God didn't lead me here. Some of us are going through some stuff, whatever the specifics, and we are yielding to that temptation that this is not what God wanted for me. This is not the door that he opened because of the challenges that we face. But brothers and sisters, this is where we're reminded, as we were reminded last week, that the Spirit is helper to us. He is the God's presence when we experience such challenges. Brother Paul and Silas, as they were in prison, they were there to help a guard who was about to commit suicide because of the prison break that took place, the supernatural prison break. The prison guard was about to kill himself. Brother Paul and Silas ministered to him and his household, and they were saved. In the midst of the crisis, God has a way of bringing forth his purpose. Two things to note. We should be open to God's will. Secondly, when that will unfolds, it may bring some challenges. We should stay the course as best as we can and listen to the Spirit for Him to say stay or even go. Because some of the challenges, some situation, you have to step out, you have to leave it. Allow the Spirit to guide you. But never yield to the temptation to say this was not what God wanted. So, how does the Spirit reveal God's unfolding will in our lives after we have resolved those matters? We look at verse 6, and the Bible says that the Spirit having been, that Paul and his team having been kept by the Spirit, they did not go. In verse 7, it said the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter the region. And then in verse 9, it says Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. The man said, come on over, Paul. And then he was convinced. What we see here are various channels. Various channels as to how the Spirit reveals God's will. Doesn't mean that all of us will have visions. Doesn't mean that all of us will hear what Paul heard. But what we can take away from this is that the Spirit was actively involved in revealing the will of God to them. So how does He do it? And the first point is this. He reveals the will of God to us through the Scriptures. He reveals God's will to us through the Scriptures. And let me add this statement. Scriptures that are accurately interpreted. He reveals God's will through us when we sit under the Scriptures that have been accurately interpreted to us and for us. The Scriptures serve as a witness to Jesus Christ. When we read the New Testament, we see the life of Christ unfold. The Bible is filled with stories beyond just our Lord Jesus. If you want to find out about money, it is there in the Bible. If you want to find out about relationship, it is there in the Bible. If you want to find out about vocations, it is there in the Scriptures. Different time, different culture, different settings. But once we allow the Spirit to guide the interpretation, brothers and sisters, when we want to know God's will, we go to the Scriptures. That is foundational. Bible tells us in Colossians 3 verse 16 that we need to let the Word of God dwell in our hearts richly. Why? Because when we need guidance, when we need instructions, when we need God's plan and God's opinion on matters, we go to the Scriptures, rightly divided, properly interpreted for us. Hebrews tell us, and I love this verse, Hebrews 4 verse 12, we all know it. It says, the Word of God is living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. When we're not sure, when we don't understand, sir, apply the Word, because what the Spirit will do, the Spirit will take it and help us to clarify on the inside true motives, right motives, why we're doing this. Is God in this? Is this going against the standard of God? Is this going against the will of God? When we allow the Word to dwell richly in us, the Spirit can use it to judge the intents and the inclinations of our hearts, giving us a pathway forward. How does the Spirit reveal God's will to us? He does so through the Scriptures that are rightly divided, properly, accurately interpreted. Secondly, the Spirit reveals to us the will of God through circumstances. And again, I must give credit to my colleague, my friend, Brother Smelly, as we spoke again on Wednesday, and we reflected on this. And he said, hey, Brother Pastor Beckford, you didn't say this in the study. And we were talking, and he said, the Spirit does reveal God's will through circumstance. And he alluded to this text, and I said, Brother Smelly, that's the same text I'm preaching on Sunday. The Spirit reveals God's will to us through circumstances. Look at it. If you look at the text does not say to us, you know, how Paul and his companions were prevented by the Spirit. Doesn't say. We can only speculate. And I did some work on the text, especially when they got to to go into Bithynia there. The geographical terrain suggests that there is a river that runs between these regions. And I could speculate that it's possible that as they tried to go into this area, maybe the river overflooded banks and all kind of things I could speculate. But the text does not say. Where the text is silent, we are silent. We can merely speculate. But it doesn't say. However, what we know is that it was not something mystical or otherworldly. It was a life situation or life circumstances that they observed, that they discerned, were being used by God to stop them from going into this region. Brothers and sisters, we must ask God to help us. Everybody say these two words to me, after me, to discern. Say it after me again, to discern. To discern our life circumstances to see whether God is leading us or not. Our dear brother Courtney, you know I have to talk about him every now and again. He said something poignant to me the other day. He said when he wanted to do his doctorate, he was actually engaged in his doctoral studies. Things were happening that didn't match up. But he asked God this fundamental question. What are you saying to me? When we recognize how things are unfolding, we need to pause and say, God, away I say, yes, sir. What you're trying to reveal to me? Holy Spirit, help me with this one. Because God uses our life circumstances to reveal his will to us. You might say, Pastor, you know, how do we know that? And I have a few pointers here. As we try to discern the will of God through circumstances, we must be mindful, though, of the subjective nature of our view of our circumstances. We can be subjective. We don't have an objective stance towards our circumstances, you know. So we have to be mindful of that. That is why we ask the Spirit, as we sung this morning, purify our hearts. So that when we look at what is unfolding in our lives, we can have a clear conscience, a clear mind, clear intentions as to what is happening. Because we can be subjective. Not only should we be mindful of that, but we should also note, not because something or someone is good, that means this is God. This was very good for them, you know. Going into where? To preach the gospel. How can God stop something that is good for me? Well, remember what we said earlier? God has foresight, insight, hindsight, all wrapped up together. So God understands that we live in seasons. Something may be good for you now, but it may not be good for you down the road. Something may not be good for you now, but it may be good for you down the road. Allow God to lead you in that regard. Not because it is good, means that this is the season for it in your life. Should also look out for red flags. I remember when I was getting married, and we did the premarital counseling. And as we did what? About 10, 12 sessions. We needed a lot. But in actuality, I recommend that you do a lot. We sat with our counselor, and as we spoke with this man of God, yes, he was a Christian counselor. As we spoke, every now and again, he would say, here's a red flag that you need to watch out for. Things that were in our lives that he knew could have played a challenging role in our marriages. Look out for that red flag. He wasn't telling us not to get married, you know. He was just telling us, look out for those things. It's God's wisdom right there. Doesn't mean that God is telling you to stop or don't go far. He's just saying, as the circumstances unfold, look out for those things. Use those things as signposts to guide you as you go forward. Brothers and sisters, be mindful that as things unfold in our life as well, they may be anti-scriptural. We can be clear. Somebody bring your businessman, businesswoman. Somebody brings a prospect to you. Boy, it looked good on paper. Do your research. Do your investigation. And if there's any hint that this thing is anti-God, that's not just a small red flag. That's a huge red flag. Walk away from it. Don't go to church and say, church, pray for me now. I need to know if this is God. God does not go against his moral code. His moral standings, that I can be very sure of. And he will stop us in our tracks if we are open to him to do so. The Spirit reveals God's will to us through scriptures that are properly interpreted. He reveals God's will to us through circumstances accurately discerned, tested. Carefully test. Third thing, the Spirit reveals God's will to us in our hearts. In our hearts. We reflected on that in our study on Wednesday. He reveals the will of God to us in our hearts. The Bible tells us that the domain of the Spirit is the heart of man. That God has placed him in our hearts. And we said on Wednesday that that word heart really means the inner part of us, our intellect, our volition, our moral compass, our ability to discern. It's the inner part of us. It's not just this little thing beating here. That's the physical part. It's not the feelings or just the emotion. It's the seat of our reason, rational, and volition to do things. The Bible tells us that is where God has placed him. And if God has placed him there, it means that he wants to influence it. How do we discern the will of God when we allow the Spirit to influence the inner part of our beings? The Bible says Paul came to a conclusion. He was convinced his mind was at work. He looked at what was happening, circumstances. Recognized that doors were being closed, recognized that a door was being opened, but then he reasoned and said, you know what? I got this. Why? Because the Spirit was working on his heart. Again, Brother Leslie, I must make reference to him because he plugged this text in it as well. Philippians 2 verse 13 clarifies this well. It says to us, for it is God who works in you and me to do what? To will and to act according to his good purpose. I know that our brother Jeremiah told us that our hearts are deceitful, very wicked, can lead us astray, can lead us down paths that we don't want to go. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, he clears that up. He tells us, be mindful of that. But brothers and sisters, we know that as believers in the new advent, under the guidance of the Spirit, hearts that are surrendered to the Spirit, hearts that are being formed by the Spirit, are better able to discern the movements of the Spirit. Heart surrendered to the Spirit, intellect, volition, morality, promptings on the inside, inclinations, intentions, surrendered to the Spirit, being formed by the Spirit, are better able to discern the movements of the Spirit. We must be mindful that God leads us from the inside. Many people say, hey, I hear an audible voice. That is good. That's not the rule, though. Let not the exception become the rule. But not everybody is going to hear an audible voice. But we all have a commonality. The Spirit has been placed in us, and He prompts us forward. So you feel like, boy, you should do a little thing here and there. Get some, say, Spirit, clear this up. Let me know, says you leading me forward. Everybody know that, not you. Get a little prompt in here. Get a little notch here, not you. The more we allow the Spirit to do that, is the more we will learn how to listen and hear the Spirit when He speaks. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit reveals God's will through the Scriptures, properly interpreted, through circumstances that are discerned carefully. He reveals it in our hearts, hearts that are being formed, hearts that are filled with the Spirit. And finally, He reveals it through community. Spirit revealed the will of God through community. If you go back to Acts chapter 13, because of time, I won't do that. 1-3, you read it. The community came together and they prayed. And as they prayed, the Spirit revealed to them that Paul and Barnabas should go on missions. The community came together, prayed. And in their praying, in their gathering, the Spirit revealed God's will. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit uses believers to help us discern His will. We bring the Scriptures that we have gotten. We bring the circumstances that are unfolding. We bring the promptings and inclination of our hearts into, let me say this carefully, into a safe and Spirit-led community. Amen? And we listen together for the individual and for the community. I say safe and Spirit-led because not all communities should be trusted with what God is doing in your life. Because some communities are not Spirit-led. It was revealed to me last week with such wisdom that, Pastor, some communities are not Spirit-led. Some communities are sheep. Wolves. In sheep clothing. So that is why I'm very careful to say we bring our circumstances, we bring the inclination of our hearts, the Scriptures that God is revealing to us as individuals into a what? Safe and trusting and Spirit-led community. And we allow the gifts that have been given to the church to be used by the Spirit for such purposes. When we meet in our cell groups, in our Bible studies and so forth, we learn to listen, to wait, and to hear God in our midst and in our gatherings. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit is there to help us, to reveal God's will to us. When we are conflicted, when we don't know what to do, there are resources that the Spirit can use. The Scriptures, properly interpreted. Our circumstances, carefully discerned. Our hearts, being formed. And the community that are Spirit-led. He will use those resources to help us in our understanding and doing of the will of God. What I like about Brother Paul and his team is after they recognize that this is what God wanted them to do. They did it. They did just like the Nike commercial. Just do it. After it was revealed, what did they do? Paul got up the next morning and said, hey, let's go. When God's will is revealed to us, rather than us there staying and pampering it and everything, do what God has called us to do. That is obedience. Let's bow our heads. You might be here this morning and you say, Pastor Beckford, I came to church this morning. There are several things on my mind. I need God's direction on a matter. God is here this morning to help us to understand how he's leading. I mentioned a few scenarios earlier, relational, vocational, and otherwise. For you, it might just be as simple as, what do I do with my week this week? Where do I go? Who do I go to? But for others, they are in a place where they need some direction as to, God, what must I do in going forward? I want to pray with us this morning. Do I need God's direction in terms of my job situation, in terms of my academics, in terms of my relationship, in terms of my parenting, in terms of ministry here at Grace, in regard to my civic duty as a Jamaican? I need God's direction. God reminded us this morning, the resources are here for us to tap into so that the Spirit can lead us forward. When he says no, we comply. When he says yes, we comply. When he says wait, we ask for endurance to wait. When he says here is another alternative, we choose that. And when he chooses to be silent, we trust that he's working behind the scenes on our behalf. Let's bow our heads. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead. Spirit, lead us. Let's lift our hands. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Oh, let's stand, church. Where he leads me, singleness. Lead, O Lord, as we parent our children. Lead those of us who are managers and CEOs and employers. Lead those of us who are employees. Lead those of us who are businesses, Lord. Lead the leadership of this church, Lord. Lead, Lord, lead. Where you lead, we will follow. Where you lead, Lord. And God, when as we see, when the times are challenging and the things seem so unbearable, Lord, let us trust that you have led us and you will continue to lead us. That the Spirit of the Almighty God will pour out his love in our hearts by the work of the Spirit. That's our prayer, Lord. We're not holding back. We're being honest with you. That's where we are as a people. And as we leave, may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened as the gospel, the word, the love of Christ shines upon it so that we can see clearly, clearly as you lead us forward. Remove the confusion, Lord. Let it not be blurry. Let it not be dark, but Lord, let it be visible. Let us see, Lord, and see clearly how you're leading us forward as individuals and as a local church.